disruptions. And if I can give you any advice whatsoever, there's about 80 days left until the voting day. It's going crazy on the televisions. It's going crazy on the web pages. Stay focused. And when we get to the point that we're going to vote, you're going to vote with a clean conscience as to who lines up with the best of their ability to the Word of God. That's the most important thing. But it seems today that for many Christians, being a Christian is just a badge that they wear. I observe things and I watch people's behaviors at times, and I look at most folks that I've observed over the years, or many folks, should I say. Christianity is a badge that they wear. The badge that they wear is on display. And that badge doesn't necessarily affect their lifestyle. Not realizing that being a Christian is not a badge that you wear, but it is a lifestyle. And if it is a lifestyle, we also recognize that there are many hindrances in this walk with Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Because one of the greatest hindrances of progress or advancing in life is living in the past. And I've jotted a number of things down over here for you to see. People seem to fail in advancing because they allow the past to dominate their thinking. Let's recall that. How often do you recall your past? Don't answer that. Many folks in conversation will recall their past, and their past dominates the present. Look at this on the board. You can live, say it with me. You can live, or you can live, or where are we? Each person here is in one of those categories. Every single one of us. You determine where you are. You can live in the past. Is there a problem with that? What's the problem? You can't go forward. You can't grow. You're living in the past. Was the past hurtful? Yeah, absolutely. Were there a lot of disappointments in the past? Yeah. But you cannot live in the past. And if you are in the past, ask God to change that. And you start walking with Him. You can live with the past. So you're living, you're trying to make progress, but you just your whole behavior is living with the past. Or you can continue to forget the past. Now, what does the word forget mean? Annihilation? Removal? Is it possible for you to forget the entirety of your life in the past? Impossible. Impossible. You know, we wipe a hard disk clean. But some guys can go in there and still find stuff that are hidden that we thought was wiped out. So living in the past is disastrous. But I want you to know that you can continue to forget the past because that is a biblical pattern. Remember on Wednesday nights, Lord, please change my attitude before it's too late. I encourage you to be on Wednesday night. We had a very good crowd on Wednesday. Attitudes need to change. And we look at Philippians 3 verses 12 and 13. No, dear brothers and sisters, what does he say? I'm still not all I should be. How many of you can say, I am where I am and I'm not going any forward? I'm not improving at all. Well, now we've got to change. No, dear brothers and sisters, I'm still not all I should be. But I do what? Focus. What do I focus? What are those energies? So are there negative energy and positive energy? Absolutely. We've got negative energy, positive energy. And he says, I am focusing all my energies. In mentioning that, I am focusing all my energies. Define that. What is focusing all my energies? What does it include? What does it entail? Thoughts? Efforts? Memories? So it seems this crowd is alive and this crowd is catching up. I'm focusing all my energies on what? And look at this, guys. I'm focusing all I am, my thoughts, my memories, my actions on one thing. One thing. Doing what? If I'm focusing all my energies on this one thing, I am. Is it a one-time thing or an ongoing process? It's an ongoing process. Forgetting the past. Look at that. And looking forward to what lies ahead. Election. No. What lies ahead? Seeing Jesus face to face one day. What lies ahead is being in his presence. In reality, we're looking forward to a change of environment. So I'm forgetting the past. Forgetting, we're going to get to that now. And looking forward to what lies ahead. What does forgetting mean? What does it mean to forget? To lose the facts, the knowledge from the mind. Failing to recall. And this is where you and I fit in. How often do we recall the bad experiences in our lives? More often than we should. More often. In recalling those experiences, we cannot move on with Christ. We cannot grow in Christ. And here's the thing. You try and not bring it to remembrance. You try not to recall it. You get to the point, I don't want to remember that. In other words, I don't want to bring it into focus any longer in my life. But you know what's so sad? What do you think? You don't want to recall it. You don't want to bring it into focus anymore. You don't want to think of it. But there's always somebody that's going to try and remind you of it. There's always somebody. And then they make the threats about you. Every person has got some skeleton. Every person has got some stuff that it's behind us. But it's sad when people start making the kind of gestures or threats, well, I will just show people who you are. None of your business, my mate. It's none of their business. It's my business and the business of the Lord. So I'm failing. I don't want to recall it, but somebody wants to recall the past. So what do we do? So you know what? I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new person. God has changed my life. And yes, I've had a past. Notice the wording. I've had a past. I don't have it. I've got a future. And my future is in Jesus Christ. My future is I'm born again. My future is I'm pursuing those things that brings glory and honor to God. And Paul describes his Christian life as involving the continual forgetting. But here's the thing, folks. If we want to continually forget, what must we do? Develop the present. Growing in the Lord. Growing in the Word. So the more of God in me, the more of the Word of God in me, the less of that stuff. So I grow in the Lord. In other words, I'm just setting another pace. I'm setting new remembrances because today is the day, okay? When today is finished and it's a good day, I wake up tomorrow morning, I can look at yesterday and say, it was a good day. There were a couple of things that wasn't so good, but this is a good day. And every day you set the pattern. And that's also something we've learned on Wednesday nights. The continual thinking process also involves our attitudes or develops that attitude. So he says, I'm directing all my energies and interest on the course that lies ahead of me to do, which is glorification of Jesus Christ. I want to glorify God is a better word to say. Forgetting did not mean obliterating the memory of the past, but a conscious refusal to let them absorb the attention. And that's where you and I come in. Guys, every single day is a challenge for every one of us. The old lifestyle, the present challenges, our way of thinking, dealing with folks all the time. But I also want you to know that Paul says no present attainment could lull him into thinking he already possessed all Christ desired for him. In walking with Jesus, in growing in our spiritual life, when you become born again, what's our position in the Word of God? What are we called? The day you ask Jesus to come into your life, the Bible says you're born again. Which means what? I'm a child of God. Take it back to the natural. You are born out of the womb. What are you? A baby. A baby. So how many baby Christians are there? They've been born again for 5 years, 10 years. Can there still be baby Christians? Yes. Is that God's desire? Not at all. We've got to keep on growing. But setbacks are part of our lives, unfortunately. Failures are part of our lives. Disappointments. But we must move on and lose out of mind yesterday's hurts, yesterday's disappointments, yesterday's failures, and we must press on through Jesus Christ. That's what I'm saying. Press on. So don't allow yesterday to keep you in bondage. I want us to look at that for a moment. Do not allow yesterday to keep you in bondage. Pause. Ask a question. Is that possible? Can yesterday keep me in bondage? If you allow it. Right? Do not allow yesterday. How can I prevent from yesterday keeping me in bondage? How? How can I stop this? Let it go. Focus on the Word of God. Grow in the Lord. Meditate on the Word. Read the Word. Study the Word. Apply the Word. Get out of that comfort zone. Do not allow yesterday to keep you in bondage. What does that do? It will prevent you and me from achieving and experiencing God's best for you today. So, would it be wise for us every morning to wake up, say, good morning, Father. This is the day that you have made. I will. How about testing that? How about putting that into practice tomorrow morning? And make it a habit. Wake up tomorrow morning. Sometimes it's going to be a terrible morning. Sometimes it's going to be a sleepless night and a horrible morning to wake up. You wake up. Good morning, Father. This is the day you have made. And I don't know why you've made it, but this is the day you've made. I need to get out of bed. I need to get to work. I need to go to school. I need to face my husband. I need to face my wife. I need to face my children. I need to face my mother. This is the day that you have made. And I'm going to think about rejoicing. I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to think about rejoicing. And if I don't feel like it, I'm not going to rejoice. But if we apply the concept, this is the day you have made. I will. There we start with, I will rejoice. And Is that obvious and visible to others? It is. Oftentimes, we allow circumstances to suck us into its environment. We allow circumstances to dictate how we behave. We all do that. And we've got to discipline ourselves and go according to the biblical pattern. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. And he says, one thing, single-mindedness, single purpose, one thing I want to do, I want to experience all that God has for me. And he says, I must strain, the old King James, I must strain towards the goal. I was watching a bit of tennis during the course of the week, Cincinnati. What does it take to be number one tennis player in the world? What does it take? What does it take to be a world champion in boxing? I want us to visualize this. Just visualize it. What does it take for such a few to reach that position? There's a drive, obviously. There's an obsession, obviously. You guys have mentioned so many things. Dedication, commitment, practice, sacrifice. What was that? Passion, faithfulness. Now, isn't that amazing? That in the natural, people will adapt to that, adjust, take that on to become the best player in the world. And I'm observing these guys. And I say, but you know what? That kind of dedication should be required by me. That kind of commitment should be required of me as a child of God to serve him with zeal and enthusiasm. And I look at the sacrifice and I think that's what distinguishes those guys from the Christian, that I don't know to which extent we will sacrifice in serving God. Will we sacrifice our leisures? Will we sacrifice our time? That's why I said sometimes it seems like it's just the badge that you wear. But yet when I look at this man, the Apostle Paul, and remember what Paul said? Be followers of me as I'm a follower of Christ. So the emphasis is Christ. And he says, one thing, I'm going to strain toward the goal. And straining toward the goal is not heaven. Straining toward the goal is you and I developing our character, our nature. Because goal is not heaven. What is heaven? The prize. And that's why he says, I will strain toward the goal. My goal is not heaven, but having his will done in my life. And that's a daily experience. I've got to change. And daily I change through getting to know the Word of God, having fellowship with brothers and sisters, having commitment to fellowship like you have. Fellowship, commitment to that fellowship, commitment to reading the Word of God. The decision is clear cut. For Paul, I must go forward. There's no looking back. There's no living with the past. The clear cut decision, I must what? Go forward. Is it possible to be neutral all the time? No. I've got to make that decision. Let go of yesterday and releasing yesterday and going towards the goal and wanting the prize. I want us to go to 2 Corinthians 6 verse 4 and 10. A number of lengthy scriptures for us to analyze. In everything we do, we try to show that we are true ministers of God. Are all of us ministers of God, messengers of God? Absolutely. So it incorporates all of us. Okay, guys, how are you going to interpret this? How many of us this morning can truly say, yeah, I'm good with this. I've conquered this thing. We patiently do what? Endure troubles, hardships, calamities of every kind. All right, 1 to 10, how are you doing so far? I think many of us, if not all of us, can say, yeah, I've had troubles. Others can say, oh man, my whole life is a life of hardships. Others, calamity, I've lost my car, I've lost my home, I've lost this, I've had calamities of every kind. I've even lost my video games. That's a calamity. And I think here's something that you and I need to evaluate. When these things come our way, troubles, hardship, calamities, we patiently endure that. We know that patience is not a strong virtue in most of our lives. But in mentioning we patiently endure these things, we recognize what the Bible says. The trying of your faith brings forth patience. So how can I develop patience? The trying of my faith. How is my faith tried? Testings, troubles, calamities. Look at verse 5. And he refers to himself and a couple of other guys, and he says, Paul says, we have been beaten. Think about that. How many of us have been beaten already? A few times when we were in fights. We have been beaten. We've been put in jail. We faced angry mobs. We've worked to exhaustion, which means it's more than 40 hours a week. We've endured what? We know what that's about sometimes. I mean, right? We've gone without food. I can afford to go without some food a little bit. And gone without food. Verse 6, we have proved ourselves. Because people are observing. People are observing you. People are observing me. We have proved ourselves by our purity in Christ. Our understanding. Our what? Our patience. But notice also our kindness, our sincere love, and the power of the Holy Spirit. We have faithfully preached the truth. Wait a bit. Wait. We have faithfully preached the truth. Did that not bring some of the troubles that they experienced then? Because they were preaching the truth, they were beaten. Because they were preaching the truth, they were imprisoned. So what's the moral of the story? There's a price to pay for truth. And let's analyze this morning. Do we believe in truth? What is truth? Oh, no. CNN tells the truth. Fox News tells the truth. You see how we can, you know, that's why, get away from some of this stuff. Jesus is the truth. All right? So if you and I believe in Christ, are there going to be consequences? Absolutely. Absolutely. People will not want you around. People may not want you to talk about Jesus when you're at work or even at school. But he says, we have faithfully preached the truth. The truth is also the commandments. The truth is about Jesus setting people free. The truth is light and darkness. So the light shining into darkness creates major problems. We have faithfully preached the truth. God's power has been working in us. Why? Because we've been preaching the truth. We have righteousness. I love this. We have righteousness. In other words, we are in right standing. So how many people are in right standing with Jesus Christ today in this church? Most probably all of you. Many of you, I would imagine, can say, I am born again. I'm in right standing with Jesus. We have righteousness, which means we're in right standing with God because we're born again. And this righteousness or this right standing is what? We have righteousness as our weapon. So righteousness is a weapon. And that's why we do not fight against flesh and blood. With shields and swords, spears. No, no, no. We have righteousness as a weapon, both to attack and to defend. Because the righteousness is a weapon that can conquer. And here comes the commitment. Look at the lifestyle. Look at the comments. Look at the honesty of Paul, what he's been through, what he's suffered. He tells us who he is, and then he says, we serve God. So he's made a decision. What was the decision? Get away from this and serve God. We serve God. And that's where you and I come in as well this morning. We serve God whether people honor us. It's ongoing. People will despise you. You think that just because you're on one side of the political party, now they don't want you in your house, add on to Christianity, add Christianity into your life, or have that Christian lifestyle, man, that's a double wham. You are part of a political party and you are Christian, you are wacko. No more Thanksgiving for you at our house. We serve God with whether people honor us or despise us. Excuse me, Paul. Why did you make this decision? Well, he'll tell us. Single-mindedness, I strain towards the goal and the prize. People cannot give me the goal. People cannot give me the prize. Only Jesus Christ can do it. And that's where you and I come in. Our commitment to Jesus. And he says, whether they slander us or... How many of you have been slandered before? All of us. Come on, all of us. People have said some nasty things about you. Don't worry, they said worse about me. Don't worry about it. Whether they slander us or praise us, we are honest. They call us imposters. We are well known, but we are treated as unknown. We live close to death. How many of you would love to live close to death? We live close to death. But guess what, guys? Here we are. Look at that. But here we are, still alive. So guess what? You can knock me down, but I'm going to get up again. You can knock me down, but you're not going to knock me out. Because my life is in Jesus' hands. We have been beaten. Oh my gosh, guys. Understand what Paul is teaching us this morning. He's teaching us perseverance. He's preaching to us and saying, guys, I want you to have endurance. I want you to get to the goal. I want you to get to the prize. But getting to that is not easy. It's not easy. It's difficult. So it is with the top tennis players in the world. So it is with the achievers in the world. They sacrifice a lot to get to the top. You and I are going to sacrifice a lot to get to the goal. And then guess what waits us? The prize. And he says, I want you to know that we live close to death. But here we are, still alive. And then he elaborates. about his lifestyle, reaching the goal, getting the prize. Nicole, just go back quickly, please, to verse 9. We have been beaten within an inch of our lives. What does that mean? What does it mean? We've almost been dead. They gave us up for dead. Now, bear this in mind, guys. You say we're living in a different dispensation. We're living in a different era. We're living in a different age. No, we're not. They're slaughtering the Christians in Nigeria. Slaughtering them like animals. We have been beaten within an inch of our lives. Verse 10. Our hearts ache. Is it possible to have both these things? Our hearts ache, but we always have what? Is it possible to have those two things? Yeah. Yeah, it is. Our hearts ache. Many parents here today, your hearts are aching for your children. Children, hearts aching for their parents just to receive Christ or to get out of whatever they are in. But they've got joy in the Lord. And he says, our hearts ache, but we always have joy. How easy is it for us as born-again Christians to have our joy dampened? Very easy. Very quick. Circumstances, adverse circumstances does that very quickly. And we've got to learn to go beyond that. We've got to learn what Paul is teaching us this morning. Our hearts ache, but always have joy. We are poor. But we give spiritual riches to others. We owe nothing. Really? But yet we have everything? Is that a statement that we can boast about? I owe nothing. But yet I have everything? Yeah. When you and I have Christ in our lives, we've got everything. Everything. There's nothing that can be added to this well-being of the human being. And throughout our life, all kinds of distractions and temptations threaten to choke off our commitment to the Lord. What are some things that can choke us? Things in life. Let me give you some example. Identify with it. Can worry choke us? Do you believe it? Why do we do it? If we know that worry is going to choke us, why do we worry? And the Bible says, don't worry. In other words, do not be anxious for anything. Do you see the conflict with the human nature? With the spiritual nature? Do you see the conflict that we have as born-again people, how the old nature wants to do that which is the default, and since we're born again, we know we're going to do that which is glorifying to God, but yet the default, the old nature, takes control at times, and all of a sudden, I'm worried to death. I've got a lump in my stomach. I've got a lump in my throat. I've got whatever. I'm worried. What does it help us? Anxiety, hurt, disappointments, fear, selfish desires, sin. All these things can choke us. We must not allow this to happen. Why not? Because we are the masters. In what sense? In Jesus Christ. Remember the scripture? We quoted a lot. I can do. So do I have authority? Do I have power? Do I have the will to go against anxiousness? Do I have the power to overcome worry? Yeah, we do. We do. But oftentimes we allow worry to dictate to us. We are the masters. We are the victors in Jesus' name, not the victim. We are the head. Look at Mark 4, verse 19, and then two more scriptures. But the worries of this life, The deceitfulness of wealth. What is so deceitful of wealth? You trust in it? Never satisfies? The deceitfulness of wealth makes you believe you've got it all together. And yet wealth can be taken away in a split second. And he says, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things. Oh, there's many other things in life. Come in and do what? There's it, guys. It chokes the word of God, making the word unfruitful. We might know the word. We want to apply the word, but we allow worry, we allow anxiety, we allow hurt, we allow disappointments to dominate, and in that dominating, it chokes the word. So, which means we cannot advance. You and I cannot advance. So we've got some lessons to learn this morning. Well, we think, Paul, did he have any problems with these things? Do you think Paul had worry problems? Did he have fear problems? Were there opportunities for Paul to fear? Were there opportunities for Paul to have anxiety? Were there opportunities? And let's analyze his life just in the scripture. In 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 28, five scriptures, let's see what this man of God went through. And no wonder, and I think you and I have got to be careful here this morning to take Paul by his word. He says, be followers of me as I am a follower of Christ. When we see what he's been through, do you still want to follow him? No. You know what? I'm going to skip Paul. I'm going to be a follower of Christ. But Paul is a follower of Christ, and this is the price he paid, which means if he paid the price, I'm a potential. Right? And he gets into this conversation. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, and all Christians at some time in their life sound like mad people. Because of the terminology we use, because the Bible says the natural cannot understand the things of the spiritual. So what we believe, like even coming to church and worshiping God, others think, man, it's better to be out on the boat. It's better to be out some other place. As they servants of, are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder. Is that egotistic? Is he trying to be egotistic over here? No, he's pointing out the facts. These guys were making a noise. They were making some proclamation that did not measure up to what Paul was doing. And that's why he says, I have worked harder. Notice though, being put in prison more often. For doing what? Preaching, is that all? Well, mate, go rob a bank. Come on. Just get in cahoots with Vicky. Vicky will tell you where the money is. Just go rob the bank. And give it 10%. I know I sound like a madman. I've served him far more. I have worked harder. Been put in prison more often. I ask myself that question over the years. What would I do if I'd been put in prison for preaching the gospel over and over and over? I go to prison, I come out, I preach the gospel. Isn't it doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results, which is lunacy? If you know that the preaching of the gospel is putting you in jail, why don't you just stop preaching the gospel? We've got to look beyond that because we are light. And light needs to penetrate darkness with the gospel. And he says, I've been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number. Whipped. And faced what? Death. How often? again. My mate, don't you think it's time to quit? Why is this guy not quitting? Why? It's not an option. It's not an option. He's not quitting because he says, I strive for the goal. For Christ's life to be manifested in my life. And then to receive the prize at the end of my life. And he elaborates and he says, 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. You know what the Jewish whip is like. 39 lashes. 5 times. I mean, that back of his must have been exposed to the bone. Once, if I look at my life. Now, I know you weren't as bad as I was in school. I got quite a couple of beatings in school. Skip the classes. And then, of course, in our day, it was a beautiful rod, called it a cane, that we would get whipped with. And it was always, we called it the best of 6, because it was 6 lashes we would get at school, at high school. Those days are long gone. Today it's abuse. It's child abuse today. Prior in the Catholic school, I got whipped on my knuckles. But we found a way at high school how to try and dampen the 6 shots. Because when that rod hits your butt, it stings. Now, as you know, I've told you the story before. My mother never was able to distinguish where my butt was. Wherever there was space between my head and my heels, that was fair game. And wherever you go, it becomes more sensitive around you. So at school, we've learned how to combat some of these lashes, the 6 lashes. Now, some of you, the younger generation, will not know anything I'm speaking of. The older may relate to it because you may have experienced that. But in South Africa, there was a way to do it, to help those lashes not hurting you so much. You will take a tube, a big tube, and cut it and put it in the inside of your pants. But the teachers, the principal, found out that there's a different sound when that happens. Then you add some more lashes. So we've used it a few times only to discover we're actually losing. This is not a good investment. Because you're getting more lashes than the original 6. So we'd rather take the punishment. And I look at this guy and he says 39 lashes. Not 6, 39 lashes. 5 times over a period of time. If that was not enough, 3 times I've been beaten with rods. So not the cat o' nine tails, rods. Once I was stoned where they left him for dead. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I was what? I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. You know, for us, when you travel from 3 rivers to Munster, that's a long journey. But this is across the oceans. He says, I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers. I have faced danger from robbers. Notice this. I have faced danger from who? My own people, the Jews. But also from the what? Yeah, we the Gentiles. I have faced all these things. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, on the seas. And I have faced danger from men, notice, men who do what? Who claim to be believers, but they're not believers. Is that still available today? Yeah. Don't put your trust in man. Put your trust in him. Man will fail you. Man will fail us. Put your trust in God. And when man fails, and I'm going to share this with you, when man fails you, get over it and keep on trusting God. Because at the end of our lives, all of us will give an account to him one day. And that's what he's saying. I am pressing on. I've got this goal. I'm going to reach my goal. But I'm also going to receive the prize. He says, pressing toward the goal. I'm a strain toward the goal. That's not heaven. My goal is not heaven, but having his will done in my life. The prize is heaven. It is the reward for achieving my goal. And then, of course, I look at Philippians 3, and we're going to close with this morning. Look at this. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things. We're all growing. You and I'm growing. Or that I've already reached perfection. I think it was Wednesday night. Vera was talking about all us imperfect people, and I said to her, speak for yourself. We are all imperfect people, guys. We're all imperfect people. I've not reached perfection exactly as he says, but there it goes, guys. And I want you and I to take this to heart this morning. When the challenges are there, when you don't know what to do, God, I'm not hearing from heaven. Everybody seems to be against me. It seems like the whole bottom's fallen out. I just don't know what to do. Here's my encouragement. Press on. Press on. But I press on to possess, to lay hold of that perfection for what? For which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. Putting them at rest. I have not achieved this. You may think I'm great. You may think all kinds. I have not achieved this perfection. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past. In other words, don't bring it to remembrance. Guys, let the past be the past. Let the hurts lay there. Deal with the love of God. Let the love of God build you up. Let the strength of God be manifested in your life. Forgetting the past, and I'm looking forward to what? What lies ahead? I'm looking forward. I'm focused. I'm looking forward. I press on. Is it possible to get tired in pressing on? Let's go back to the tennis players. Let's go back to the boxing champions. Do you feel there's some days they're supposed to be out there practicing and they're too tired? I don't feel like practicing today. I don't feel like going to the tennis court to practice today. I don't feel like going to the boxing ring. I don't feel like going practicing my golf shots today. How many times do they feel that? Often. Why? Because they're human like us. And we know what the feelings are. We know what the feelings are. But he says, I've got to go beyond what I feel. When he was whipped 5 times, the first whipping, do you think he felt, I've got to press on? How did he feel at that moment? Pain? Agony? Is it possible he questioned God? But he says, I press on to reach the end of the race. This race is coming to an end. It's only a matter of time. I want to end the race and receive the heavenly prize. The goal and the prize. And I'm going to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus, is calling us. In other words, come on, guys. Come on. I'm waiting. Come on. God, I'm tired. Come on, press on. I'm waiting. Press on. Press on. Press on. So through our short life, we still have to live on this earth. Let's focus as Paul did, as he's a follower of Jesus Christ. And then, if we want to look beyond Paul, look at Christ. What did Christ endure? There was a sacrifice. So do we think serving God is a piece of cake? Do we think it's just a walk in the park? Or are there challenges? It's a living sacrifice. And the Bible says, I present my body as a living sacrifice to you, which is my reasonable service. And this morning, I trust that you and I will learn these lessons this morning. Stay focused. I want you to stay focused on God. I want you to stay focused on pleasing God. I want us as a body to stay focused on doing that which is glorifying to God. And regardless of the circumstances, here's the thing. Stay focused. Why? God is at work within us. Can he do a bad job? Nope. Are we waiting for change to happen, or is change happening now? Change is happening now. Every single day of our lives, change is happening. Don't resist it. Say, Lord, you are the potter and I am. What must he do? Mold me. Shape me. Form me. Can you just be a little more gentle? Please, just a little more gentle. Let him do his will within us. His work, his will, his way. Can we pray together?